36. I want to look at the entire psalm. We'll, for time's sake, just read the first three verses and also verse 26. Beginning with verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. This is a psalm that would cause the Israelites to look back on their history, to view their history in light of and relative to the person and the works of the Lord. We see that the psalm begins and ends with virtually the same words, certainly the same thought. So in these 26 verses, the psalmist comes full circle. As you read through this psalm, there's really no bottom to it. It's very, very deep. Now, when studying any Old Testament passage, it's very helpful to see if it is quoted anywhere else in the Bible. We know that many Old Testament scriptures are quoted in the New Testament, and it gives us some clarity, gives us a further idea of the meaning of those scriptures. This psalm is not quoted in the New Testament, but I do believe it is quoted in the Old Testament several times, which gives us an idea, because there is no inscription to this psalm. We do not know the author. We do not know the time in which it was written. But from the places where the psalm is quoted, we do get some idea, and we get some idea of the purpose of the psalm. We won't turn to these verses for time's sake, but in 1 Chronicles 16, 41, and 42, we see that this psalm is quoted. That is, the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And the quotation there is, the context is that the Levites would sing this in public worship. So I believe this 136th psalm was one of the songs that were sung by the Levites in public worship. Also in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 3, we see the dedication of Solomon's temple. And once again, we see this part of this psalm is quoted. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 21, we again see portion of this psalm quoted, and it's when Jehoshaphat's army was singing. So it seems to be that it was a song that was sung by Jehoshaphat's army. So we see it's a song that was sung by the Levites. It was a song sung at the dedication of the temple, Solomon's day. It was a song sung perhaps by the armies of Jehoshaphat. All of this shows us that the psalm was written either during the life of David or before the life of David. It's a very old song. We see the psalm is quoted in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11. at the dedication of the temple of Zerubbabel. And then, of course, we read it again in Jeremiah 33 and verse 11. But the psalm is basically an anthem of thanks, a song of thanks. And that is our message tonight, an anthem of thanks. First of all, we want to notice the objective of the psalm. The objective and the theme are different. But notice the objective of the psalm. It is stated three times in verses 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks. It is stated again at the end of the psalm in verse 26. Oh, give thanks. So the objective of the psalm is for God's people to give thanks. So it is a psalm that calls us to give thanks. It is a psalm that commands us to give thanks. It is a psalm that directs us and admonishes us to do something. And what we are to do, of course, is very specific. We are to give. That is, we are to present thanks. We are to give thanks. Thanks, of course, is appreciation. Thanks is a form of acknowledgement. It is a form of recognition. It is to give credit to. So we are called upon to give thanks. Now, of course, we are called upon this, to perform this act, throughout the Word of God. You see, thanksgiving is not just the day. Thanksgiving is to be a life. It's to be our life. It's really to be thanksgiving. We are to live our lives giving thanks unto the Lord. And if we fail to give thanks, that indicates even a greater problem. And we're not going to get into that. But we read in Psalm 30, in verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Our songs are to be sung with thanks, giving thanks unto God. I really don't have a whole lot of use for songs in church services that have nothing to do with God. Songs are to have something to do with the Lord, what He has done for us, the person of the Lord. So we are commanded to give thanks. We are commanded to give thanks in song. And again, and when we sing, it ought to be in an attitude of thanksgiving. In Psalm 50 and verse 14, we read, offer unto God thanksgiving. And we are to offer it in a way that He would receive it. So we are to offer to God thanksgiving. Psalm 95, in verse 2, we read, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. When we enter into the presence of God, we are to do so, giving thanks unto the Lord. Same idea is conveyed in Psalm 100, in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We see also in Psalm 105, verse 1, Psalm 106, verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1, Psalm 118, verse 29, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 147 and verse 7, again, we see, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. That is, with the attitude of thanksgiving. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, We're told to be careful for nothing, that is, not to be anxious, but in everything by prayer, which gives us the cure for anxiety and supplication. And then he tells us how we're to pray and to make supplication. We're to do so with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So when we pray, it is to be in an attitude of giving thanks. Whether we be praying for ourselves, whether we be praying for a situation, whether we be praying for somebody else, it is to be with thanksgiving. We are to have an attitude and a spirit of thanks. We see this again in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That is, be on guard in the same. Be on guard while you're praying and do so with thanksgiving. I believe that tells us how we're to be on guard. We're to be giving thanks unto the Lord. That keeps us focused upon God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. You may not be able to be thankful for everything. If we're all honest, we cannot say that we are thankful for everything. But we ought to be able to give thanks unto God simply because of who He is. In everything. We see, so this is a call to outwardly express, to give thanks is to outwardly express appreciation. It is to outwardly acknowledge God. It is a call to outwardly recognize God. To give thanks is an outward act. It is something that we do. Now, the act of thanksgiving, the act of giving thanks, flows from an attitude and condition of heart. Notice in, keep a mark there in Psalm 136, but in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the last statement of verse 15, be ye thankful. And then notice verse 17, the last line of verse 17, giving thanks to God. Now, I believe those are two different things. Be thankful and give thanks unto God. In verse 15, be ye thankful. Notice it's continual. Be ye thankful. To be thankful is not the same thing as giving thanks. To be thankful is the inward heart emotion, the inward feeling, the inward attitude and spirit of giving thanks. It is what giving thanks in verse 17 flows from. It flows from be thankful. Again, we've used the example many times. You train your child to say thank you, and you have to tell them, say thank you. Say thank you. They don't have that inward emotion of thanks, so you have to tell them. Someone who has that inward emotion, you don't have to tell them. It just comes out. So there's a difference here between being thankful and giving thanks. So when we come to Psalm 136, we read that we are to give thanks. So the implication is that we have a heart that is thankful. You cannot obey Psalm 136 without having a thankful heart. Just many times people get convicted on Thanksgiving Day. You know, I ought to be more thankful. I ought to thank God more. And it usually lasts for about as long as it takes you to think that. And the reason is because you can't just determine, I'm just going to start saying thank you, God, more. No, that you have to have a thankful heart first. And if you have a thankful heart, you won't have any problem thanking. You won't have any problem giving thanks to God. Now notice in Psalm 136, the direction of the thanksgiving. And not only is it the direction of the giving of thanks, it is also the direction of being thankful. In verses 1 and 2, O give thanks unto the Lord. So that's the direction of the giving of thanks. It is unto the Lord. In verse 3, O give thanks to the Lord. That's the direction. Verse 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven. Unto. So we have three times, verse 1, 2, and 26, unto. We see in verse 3, 2. Now notice verse 4, to him. Verse 5, to him. Verse 6, to him. Verse 7, to him. He's talking about giving thanks. Verse 10, to him. Verse 13, to him. Verse 16, to him. Verse 17, to him. So the direction of thankfulness, the direction of giving thanks, is unto God. Four times in the psalm, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 26, we're told to give thanks. But notice in each of those verses, it is, oh, give thanks. Each one of those verses, oh, give thanks. And as we pointed out many times in the past, that word, oh, is an interjection. It declares emotion. It shows that what is being said is spoken with intense emotion. So when the psalmist is commanding us here, reminding us to give thanks, he's speaking these words with intense emotion. Oh, give thanks unto, or to, the Lord. Now the purpose of giving thanks is to call attention to God. That's the purpose. Psalm 69 and verse 30, we read, it is good. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. That's Psalm 92 and verse 1, I'm sorry. The purpose is to call attention to God. Psalm 69 and verse 30, the psalmist said, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I will magnify him. I will exalt him. I will call attention to him. You magnify something, you call attention to it. You call people to focus upon that. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. So the purpose of giving thanks to God is to magnify him, is to exalt him, is to call attention to God. That's the purpose. That ought to be the desire of every child of God, to call attention to God. And one of the best ways to call attention to God is just giving thanks unto the Lord. It ought to be our inclination, it ought to be our habit to be thankful in our hearts. And it ought to be our, and if that is our, the inclination and habit of our heart, it will be the inclination and habit of our life to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, to give thanks unto God requires a few things. It requires an awareness of God. One of the reasons that many fail to give thanks or to be thankful is because they have no awareness of God. They live their lives oblivious to God. Many of God's people are guilty of living lives of oblivion to the Lord. If we're aware of God, aware of God's hand, aware of God's direction in our lives, that creates an attitude of thanks. Humility is required to give thanks. If we feel entitled, then we don't give thanks because this is my due. This is my due. But God's people should not have a spirit of entitlement. They should have a spirit of humility. I'm not worthy of the least of His mercies. Therefore, if He shows me the least of His mercy, I ought to be thankful since I'm not worthy of the least of His mercies. See, Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of His mercies. There are very few who believe that today. That is evident from the fact that the lack of thanksgiving or the lack of thankfulness. It requires faith. It requires faith. A person who does not have faith is not going to give thanks. And as you will see here in this psalm, it is repetitious. The psalmist repeats himself over and over and over and over again, 26 times. Thanksgiving is repetitious. Thanksgiving to God is repetitious because God continually works in our lives. He never stops. Therefore, our thanksgiving is never to stop. Our thankfulness in heart is never, never to stop. It is to be repetitious. We cannot have the attitude, well, I thanked Him for that yesterday. Yeah, and He did it again today. So thank Him again. And then thank Him for all the past. Thank Him for, again, this is where faith comes in. You thank Him for what He's going to do. When was the last time we thanked God for what He's going to do? Lord, we don't know what You're going to do, but whatever it is, thank You. That takes faith. It takes faith. So let's look at the basis of this thanksgiving. What is the basis of this thanksgiving? The basis of thanks is God Himself. That's the basis. If God didn't give you anything but breath, you're to thank Him for who He is. You're to thank Him for that breath. You're to thank God for who He is. Even when you think that you don't have anything to be thankful for, you thank God for who He is. The basis of thanksgiving is God Himself. Now in verses 1 through 3, the three primary names of God are used. And they are used to mark His identity. They are used to tell us something of His person. Now you'll notice verse 1, it's Lord, all capital letters. Verse 2, it is God, capital G, small case, O-D. And in verse 3, it is Lord, capital L, small case, the remainder. So, you have the in those three verses, you have the three primary names of God as found in the Word of God. We've shown many times, but that in verse 1, Lord, all capital letters, is the Hebrew word Jehovah. It is the most common name of God in the Bible, used over 7,000 times. Sometimes it's God, all capital letters. But wherever Jehovah appears, wherever that Hebrew word is, it's all capital letters. And each of the names of God tells us something of the person of God or the character of God. The word Jehovah, of course, means the eternal, the immutable, the self-existent one. And verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah." Give thanks to the one who is eternal, immutable, and self-existent. In verse 2, it is God, capital G, small case, remainder. It is the Hebrew word Elohim. That's what we read in Genesis 1, in verse 1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And it has to do, it means the strong one. The strong one. So it refers to the strength or the power of God. You'll notice in verse 2, it is the God of gods. In other words, He's the strongest of all gods of man. He's the strong one. He's the Almighty One. He's the Elohim. In other words, He's the God of gods. He is supreme. When it says He's the God of gods, He is supreme. He has supremacy over all other so-called gods. In verse 3, it is Lord again, but it's not all capital letters. And it is the Hebrew word Adonai, meaning ruler and master. And you'll notice there in verse 3, He is the Lord of lords. In other words, He is the ruler and master over all other so-called lords. That stresses the fact that He is the overseer. He is the owner of all things. He is sovereign. He is above and over all. He is the sovereign ruler of all things. And that is declared, of course, all through the Word of God. We read throughout the Psalms, "The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth." And that is always true. The Lord reigneth. That is everywhere true. The Lord reigneth. That is true in all things. The Lord reigneth. We can be thankful for who God is. The basis of our thanksgiving is God Himself. He exercised dominion. He exercises His absolute sovereignty in every realm. Come what may, God's throne is fixed, it is set, it is secure. Therefore, all give thanks. All give thanks unto Jehovah. All give thanks unto Elohim. All give thanks unto Adonai. Give thanks unto God. So the basis of our thanksgiving is God Himself. Notice also concerning God Himself, verse 1. For He is good. For He is good. Oh, give thanks, for He is good. There is never, ever a time when those words, "for He is good," are not so. So therefore, we can always give thanks, for He is good. Maybe things aren't happening the way you like. Give thanks, for He is good. The psalmist proclaims this fact throughout the Psalms. And it is present tense. For He is. Not was, not shall be. Though He was and He shall be. But the Lord is. The Lord is good. Again, there's never a time when it's not so. But what does that mean? What is the goodness of God? The goodness of God is not just what suits you and I. The goodness of God is His perfection. God is perfect. It comprehends, his goodness comprehends all of his attributes. It comprehends all that God is. God is good. No matter what aspect you look at, God is good. God is good. God cast a soul in hell, God is good. God is perfect. God strikes someone with disease or plague, God is good. God's ways are perfect. There's never a time when that's not so. In Exodus 34 and verse 6, we read that he is abundant in goodness. In Zechariah 9 and verse 17, we read how great is his goodness. And in Romans 2 and verse 4, we read of the riches of his goodness. God is good. God is only good. There's nothing bad in God. There's nothing short of goodness in God. God is always good. So the psalmist says, the song says, "Oh, give thanks." Why? What is the basis? For he is good. For he is good. So the basis is the goodness of God. That brings us to the, again, still talking about the basis of this thanks, brings us really to the theme. The objective is to give thanks. The theme is his mercy. You'll notice in all 26 verses, every one of them ends with the exact same words. For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. Think about those two words. His mercy. That speaks of his disposition toward us. His mercy. It's God's compassion. It's God's loving kindness. But it's not just God's compassion and loving kindness. It's God's compassion and loving kindness to the wretched and to the hell deserving. It is God's favor that holds back from us what we deserve. 26 times in this psalm, his mercy, his mercy. Give thanks for his mercy, God's mercy. We deserve his wrath. If you do not think you deserve his wrath, you will not be thankful. We deserve his condemnation. But in mercy, God withholds his wrath. There's never a time that Dan Gordon does not deserve the wrath and condemnation of God. There's never a moment when that's not so. But God in Jesus Christ withholds his wrath and his condemnation. The Hebrew word for mercy is translated several different ways into our English Bibles. It, of course, is translated mercy most of the time. The same word is also translated kindness. The same word is also translated loving kindness, which is just a description of his kindness. It is loving kindness. It is kindness shown in love. It is also translated his goodness. God's mercy is goodness to us. It is also translated pity. It's God's pity toward us. But no matter how you look at mercy, whether you want to look at it as mercy, kindness, loving kindness, goodness, or pity, it's always in spite of what we deserve. Always. always. The scope of his mercy toward us is described, for his mercy endureth forever. It's forever mercy. For the child of God, it's forever mercy. So that tells us the scope of God's mercy. How merciful is God to me? Well, it endures forever. It's forever. It's everlasting. So, we read in our text 29 times. Or 26 times, I'm sorry. 26 times. His mercy. For his mercy endureth forever. The psalmist repeats it 26 times in this fairly short psalm. You see, some things are just worth repeating. And when it comes to mercy, that's worth repeating over and over and over again. And the theme of our thanks here is his mercy. His mercy. Notice in verse 4, thanks is to be given. We're looking at the basis of our thanksgiving. We see it's the person of God. We see it's the goodness of God. We see it's the mercy of God. In verse 4, to him, still speaking of, oh, give thanks to him who alone doeth great wonders. And this is in light of, for his mercy endureth forever. Who alone doeth great wonders. What does that mean? That means that God is able to continually and does great and big and giant and whatever other word you want to use, miracles. We need miracles. And God, who alone doeth great miracles. So all give thanks to him who alone, no one can do it like him, who alone doeth great wonders. And if God works a miracle in your life, what's it due to? For his mercy endureth forever. It's mercy. We don't deserve a single miracle of God. If God performs miracles in our lives, and he does every day, every moment of every day, it's due to the mercy of God. We see also, so we see the basis of this thanks is God himself. But it is also, the basis is also found in God's works toward us. In verses 5 through 9, again, we're just going to go over this fast, but in verses 5 through 9, he mentions creation. Verse 5, to him, again, the to him goes back to, oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks to him that by wisdom made the heavens. And then it is added, for his mercy endureth forever. So even creation is an act of God's mercy. When you and I benefit from creation, God knew when he created it that I would be the beneficiary of that. That's mercy. That's the mercy of God. He goes on, he covers this again in verses 5 through 9. He talks about creation. He says in verse 6, to him that stretched out the earth. And again, this is in mercy. That made great lights, and he mentions those, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. And all that's the mercy of God. The benefits we receive from the sun, the benefits we receive from the moon, the benefits we the enjoyment we get from the stars, the benefits we receive from the earth, it's all due to the mercy of God. We don't deserve any of it. It's due to the mercy of God. So give thanks. Give thanks to God for what He's done in creation. In verses 10 through 15, he's reviewing the history of Israel. And we have a picture of redemption. Again, to him. Oh, give thanks to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. Brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea and made Israel to pass through in the midst of all, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. And at the end of each of those statements is, for his mercy endureth forever. God defeated the Egyptians, and it was an act of mercy to Israel. God brought them out from among the Egyptians. It was an act of mercy. God delivered them with a strong hand. It was an act of mercy. When he divided the Red Sea, it was an act of mercy. They deserved to be drowned in the Red Sea just as the Egyptians were. But God was merciful. And he made Israel to pass through. For his mercy endureth forever. So we thank him for what he's done for us in redemption. We look at God and we thank God. We look at creation and we thank God. We look at redemption and we thank God. And that goes on down through verses 16 through 22. We thank him for what God has done in his providence. After he redeemed them in verse 16, he led his people through the wilderness. Again, it's added, for his mercy endureth forever. He smote great kings. He gave them victories. Verse 18, he slew famous kings. So we see God's providence, God's hand in their lives. And we look upon our lives, and everywhere are the fingerprints of God. Everywhere is the hand of God. And we give thanks unto God for his providence. But in all of God's providential acts toward us, whatever they are, whatever they consist of, it is in light of, for his mercy endureth forever. God has been good to me. God has been good to you. It's all due to the mercy of the Lord. Verse 23, we're to thank him for being mindful of us, who remembered us in our low estate. Oh, how many times when no one else remembered us, when no one else in the world thought about us, he did. He remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalmist said, God is mindful of us. There's never a time when that's not true. And that's mind-boggling to think that I have always been upon the mind of God. I believe all the way back to Genesis 1 and verse 1 and before that. In the beginning God created, I was on his mind. Before the foundation of the world, when he chose me, I was upon his mind. There's never been a time. And that's due to the mercy of God. There's very few people on this earth that think of me. There's very few people on this earth that think of you in the grand scheme of things. But there's a God in heaven who thinks upon me every single moment of every day. For his mercy endureth forever. We see in verse 24, we thank him for his deliverances and rescues of us, coming to our aid, and hath redeemed us from our enemies. Oh, how many times has that happened? Throughout our life, God has delivered us and God has rescued us from our enemies. God has delivered us and rescued us from ourselves over and over and over again. For his mercy endureth forever. And then, of course, it all comes back to verse 26. He comes full circle. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. After contemplating the person and works of God relative to our life, that's what this is. It's relative to Israel's history. We need to take it personal. Contemplate the person and works of God relative to your life. And having done that, the psalmist realizes the bigness of God. And he simply refers to him as God, the Elohim of heaven. The Elohim of heaven. The Almighty of heaven. The Strong One of heaven. That phrase, the God of heaven, just basically is saying he's unequal. He's incomparable. No one can rival him. No one can pass him. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Why? Because he excels all. You see, the common spiritual disease of all humanity causes man to want to reduce God to a manageable size. That is the disease of fallen man. Man wants to reduce God to a size where he can manage him. That's why man despises the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Because they want to reduce God to a size where they are in control. Where they can manage him. It's a spiritual disease to reduce him that God to a God that can be flattered, to a God that can be bribed, to reduce him to so that he can fit into man's plans and schemes, to reduce him to such a size that you can put him up on a shelf and use him whenever you please. That's a spiritual disease that plagues all of mankind, to reduce God so that his commands mean nothing. To reduce God so that his threats become empty and meaningless. To reduce God so that God becomes the subject of the whims of man. And as a result of this spiritual disease, man is prone to dismiss and to view God as absent from his life. Therefore, there's very little giving of thanks to God. Oh, people can say, "Thank you, Lord," and run off a list. But there's no thankfulness. Oh, that we would not be guilty of trying to reduce God to a manageable size. Why? It just shows the sickness of sin, the sickness of man. Why would you want a God that you can manage? That makes you God. That makes man God. But our life needs to be marked with these words, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Give thanks unto the Lord of lords. Give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Our lives need to be marked by an acknowledgement, by a recognition of God. And to give true thanks is to praise Him. Our lives are to be marked by praise to God. So, this 136th Psalm, as Israel would sing this song, again, it reviews very briefly their history and how God's hand is in their history. And I'm so glad that I can look over my life as far back as I can remember, and then after that, faith just takes over. But as far back as I can remember, I can see God's hand in my life. I can see God's fingerprints in my life, and it's all due to the mercy of God. That's why David said in Psalm 23:6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That is true. All the days of my life have been filled with goodness and mercy. But it goes further than that. It goes further back than the days of my life. God has always been merciful toward me. And all through our lives, we see the merciful works of God everywhere. So we say, "Oh, give thanks to Him. Oh, give thanks to Him." We ought to wake up every day giving thanks to God. We ought to go through the day giving thanks to God. At the end of the day, we ought to give thanks to God for being so merciful to us. You say, "Well, how do I know God's merciful to you?" You're not in hell. If you're not in hell, God has been merciful to you. Even if you're here lost today and on your way to hell, the fact that you're not there yet, God has been merciful to you. So, oh, give thanks unto Him. Oh, that God would help us to be a thankful people. Brother Jim, if you'd come and leave.